Hello, and welcome to the Super Gay Wedding Podcast.
I'm Cindy Savage, real queer wedding planner at ILS Traveled.
And I'm Amanda Summerlin, super gay wedding photographer at Amanda Summerlin Photography.
We're wedding pros who are gay as fuck.
And we're talking about wedding shit from an LGBTQ perspective.
Super gay wedding, fuck yeah!
Woo!
Can we start the timer?
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You have something... Oh. 10 minutes on the timer and timer's going.
So speaking of understudies, did you watch, I'm sure you didn't because you're not a theater person, did you watch The Rent live on Fox?
No, I saw an Sunday article night? About it that everybody should lay off those poor people.
Well,
anyway, carry on.
Here's the thing. They didn't have any fucking understudies. And so 90% or more, everything basically with the last 15 minutes mm-hmm. wasn't live because they used their recording from their dress rehearsal or whatever, because one of the cast members did something backstage during towards the end of the show and broke his foot.
Oh.
So they did it with no understudies.
They had no understudies.
They had no understudies.
For a production that big.
For a production that big. That was intended to be broadcast live from a major television network. So on the one hand, Fox. So on the one hand, I love that a major television network is doing live shows, live musicals on television so that they can reach a wider audience and so that those of us who love musicals can watch them on TV. Mm-hmm. However, could they please involve some people, theater people, who know what the fuck they are doing?
Somewhere along the way, someone said we shouldn't have understudies, and someone who said no.
Knowing that it's going to be live, at least in theory, do you not have an... I spent the whole time kind of yelling at the screen, like, where's the fucking understudy? There's no shortage of amazing actors who would have been able to pick up the choreography in half a day that they had between when he broke his foot and when it went live. And on top of that, no offense to this actor, I've never heard of the guy before. He wasn't in any way like so spectacular that we couldn't have watched somebody else do his job just as well. Huh. Maybe he's famous with the young people or something, and that's why. So the thing they do with these...
with the young people. Who is it?
his name is Brennan something, I think. Sorry, actor guy, if you're listening to our tiny podcast, I've never heard of you. Your performance that was recorded was fine, and I wish that you'd had an understudy so that you didn't have to do the last number of the show live on stage with your foot in a cast, and we could have watched the whole thing live. So right when it started at the beginning, they had the thing pop up on the screen that said previously recorded, and all of us were like, wait, what? We're supposed to be watching this live. What is this? Because I had a bunch of people over at my house to watch it. And I kept the whole time, I kept waiting for them to put a sign up saying like, now this is live. I thought maybe they were just doing it for the very opening number or something to get the thing started. But no, the whole thing until the very last scene was pre-recorded.
I'm so sorry. I really am disappointed.
And it was aggravated. It was aggravating. Anyway, one of the things they do on these is they put, you know, like popular celebrities in it. Mm-hmm. Who are popular from other things. Some of them are popular from like movie musicals or the Disney Channel or whatever. I don't know if you remember maybe 10 years or so ago when all, honestly, the young people who were like 12 at the time were all obsessed with Selena Gomez and Vanessa Hudgens. Ringing any bells? Nah. I only know this because I happened to be wrangling young performers in a production of Les Mis at the time and they were all talking about them.
I was probably driving somebody to soccer practice.
Something. Anyway, Vanessa Hudgens was one of the stars. But so they put in like these big name celebrities to do the shows so that people will watch them, I assume. And I kind of like, I get that from a ratings perspective and we need lots of people to watch this so our advertisers are, so it's worthwhile for advertisers, blah, 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 TV, TV, TV. But I wish that they would maybe just pick one or two roles to fill with a celebrity and then cast actual musical theater performers in the rest of the roles because they're better at it.
People's already... theater trained who go into film and television?
Some of them are. Many, lots of, I would guess that most people who end up in film and television started out as theater kids, but not all theater kids are singers and dancers. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Some of them certainly are. Like when they did Chicago with Catherine Zeta-Jones, her background is musical theater. She was fucking great in it. Renee Zellweger, Richard Gere, on the other hand, they were all right.
I thought Richard Gere could sing.
His singing was pretty good.
Didn't he do like a movie that was a singy thing sometimes?
Yeah, Chicago. I'm talking about.
Prior to that, like years and years ago.
I don't know. Possibly. Anyway, they put in basically a stunt double for his tap dancing in the movie. I guess is not a dancer, which is fine. Whatever, it's fine. Anyway, that's my rant.
Not everybody can be John Travolta.
Not everyone can be John Travolta. So that's what I have to say about Rent Live. If you're planning on doing a live production, even if you're a major network and your whole appeal is the celebrity leading cast names, for the love of God, have understudies. It's a standard practice in theater. I know it's not in television because you're used to getting as many takes as you need to get it right, but you're planning to do something live, okay? Get a fucking understudy. Have them for all the leading roles. That's how shows work.
That's pretty hilarious.
And yeah, all us musical theater fans who watched it, we're all mad about it. So, Fox, if you're listening, do better. Do better.
We're just gonna get understudies. Over to Fox.
Sure, why not? Couldn't hurt.
At them or something.
I didn't, but I should have.
Mm. You can tweet right at them and be like, "Listen, bitches.
Listen, get a fucking understudy."
Where's my?
Okay, I'm done. That's all I had to say about that.
That's your whole rant.
Yeah.
Well, we have like 3 minutes left here.
Yeah. So, well, if you don't have nothing else to talk about, I did have something else to bring up.
I got nothing.
You got nothing. Okay. So, in good super fun gay news, which is also sports, which you know what? I don't do.
Really?
Guess what happened?
What?
The very first ever openly queer couple did the ice dancing world championship.
Really?
Yeah. A gay guy and a bisexual woman, and I already forgot their names. I'm sorry. I am going to look it up while we're talking because it's important. Anyway,
what is ice dancing?
It's like Paris figure skating, except the rules are slightly different. So you obviously are not someone who watches figure skating. Did you not watch figure skating at all the Olympics when you were a kid like I did? So there's Paris.
I remember Mary Lou. That's really like that.
Paris figure skating and there's Paris ice dancing, and the rules of them are slightly different. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but my basic understanding is that ice dancing has like lower lifts and it's maybe less technically challenging. I hope I'm not saying that wrong. I don't want to undervalue your technical skills, ice dancers, because you guys are awesome. I can't fucking do that. I can barely skate in a circle around the rink without falling down. So anyone who can do it without falling down and then sometimes go backwards and occasionally jump and then land on their feet, I'm impressed. Katina Manta and Joe Johnson is the couple. And Katina is bisexual. And then Joe is gay. And they're like gay besties. And they couple skate together. And it's all very cute.
I mean, like,
and I'm excited about
all
it.
All the, like, skater people gay, the men?
I mean, we can presume whatever we want, but this is the first openly LGBTQ ice dancing.
I thought there was
skate.
So this is specifically ice dance, because I thought it was that guy at the Olympics because I remember seeing clips of him. He was super out. See, I don't even know.
He was by himself though, right?
I have no idea.
And I think he was a figure skater, not an ice dancer.
I mean,
again, I'm not clear on the difference exactly between figure skating and ice dancing, other than that when I watch figure skating, it seems to have more like triple axel, triple sauerkraut, triple this and triple that, and a lot more jumping. And ice dancing seems to be more like they're doing ballroom dancing, but it's on ice. Either way, mad skills that I do not have, and lots of grace, which I will never acquire. Anyway, yeah, I'm sure there's lots of speculation about many figure skaters, particularly men, but they're out and open. And what I would like to see in the future is not just an opposite gender pair who are super gay besties, but when do we get to have like boy boy pairs and girl girl pairs?
Cool news right there.
That needs to happen.
More interesting.
Let's. What year is it? We get an Olympics. Is next year a Winter Olympics or a summer? Do you know?
Yeah. Can we get that? Really falls right up under the sports category, and that's not my thing.
See, it's
like I just found out that they're having the Super Bowl here, and I'm like, ah, crap, traffic.
Oh, that's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Is that this weekend? That's how much sports I know.
Yeah.
I know that my...
Backing up the whole city all week.
I know that my ButcherBox sent me... I'll explain what that is in a minute. ButcherBox sent me an email that's like, you can get the Super Box for the Super Bowl. And I was like, huh? Why? Oh, yeah, sports. So ButcherBox, if you don't know about it, which would be a great sponsor for our podcast, I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
They send you... It's like a... you know, organic, non-GMO, pasture-raised, humane meat subscription box, and they ship me every other month like 14 pounds of frozen assorted meats for a very reasonable price, and I love it.
A meat subscription box.
Okay. Yeah, you know how you can get like the produce ones or the meal subscriptions or whatever?
Things, but,
and it's really good quality, and it ends up being like around $10 a pound for the meat, which is, and it's all like grass-fed and all that stuff, so it ends up being less expensive than buying it at Whole Foods or wherever you can get good quality meat. And they just added salmon. So I have 2 pounds of salmon in my freezer. I'm excited.
Yeah, who were we talking to this week? We didn't talk about that before.
Today we are talking to Annie and Becky.
Awesome. They were really fun.
They sure were. Should we take a listen?
We sure should.
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Annie.
I'm Becky.
And you guys are married now.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
5 years.
5 years. Woo! That's pretty awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how long have you been together?
Since 2010. So a little over eight-ish years.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. And so when you got engaged, how did you decide to do it? Did you pop the question? Did you guys come to a mutual decision? How'd that kind of evolve?
It's kind of a funny story.
I love funny stories.
So I had been looking at rings. We had obviously been talking about it for quite a while, but
wait, no, that's not obvious though, because people don't, like, lots of people don't, especially straight people.
Well, what did you say?
We just bought a house.
Yeah, we just bought a house. Okay. And so I started looking at rings.
We had talked about it together.
Yeah, we had talked about it. And I mean, we weren't like, okay, by this date, we want to do this. But, you know, we had nothing whatsoever. And I'm pretty impulsive sometimes and fly by the seat of my pants. And so one day, I don't know, I think I was off that day or got home way early from work. And I was like, oh, I think I'm going to go look at rings. And so I went and looked. I had looked at a couple different places before, but I hadn't seen anything. And then, so I went to a jeweler in, I think it was like Creekcore. We ended up not liking later on, but anyway. So I found one.
Not liking the jewelry or not liking the jeweler?
The jeweler. Mm. We'll get a little bit. But so I was like, okay, I definitely want this one. I found it. I was like, I have no idea what size. And he's like, well, you can just get it and then you can come back whenever you give it to her and we can resize it. I'm like, okay, perfect. So I get it, and with the intention of not doing it for a while. And this was in September 2nd. And so I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do it for a while. But it was like burning a hole in my pocket for an hour. And her mesh shorts. Her mesh shorts, yes. And so... I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it today. Like, why not? And so I was calling her mom or trying to get a hold of her mom just to like talk to her about it. And her mom doesn't ever like answer her phone. So I sent her an email and I'm like, can you call me ASAP? And so she sends me an email back that says, what's your number again? What's your phone number again? And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Into. So I send her my phone number, so she calls, and I mean, it was pretty awkward. I was just kind of like, so I think I'm gonna ask Annie to marry me, and she's like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh god, I gotta go. Annie's getting home. I gotta go. And I just hung up the phone. And then, so I had on like a t-shirt and mesh shorts, of course, and they had pockets. And
it's a perfect proposal outfit.
Right. And Annie is an hour early from work, mind you, of course.
Uh-oh.
And so I walk out of our bedroom like into I creeped out.
Creeped.
I had some like flowers And so I had some flowers and I creepily walked into the front room and she was like, hi. And I was like,
what'd you break?
Yeah. And then I think I just asked her. It was kind of a blur. And that was basically
yeah. And I said yes.
Yeah.
I said, with a proposal like that, how could you say no?
Sure.
So, I mean, that's really genuine, and that's like kind of the most amazing part of it is like,
right.
I mean, it's nice to have like dress up and all that, but I mean, just to be your real in your mesh shorts and your t-shirt, that's
exactly.
Yeah.
Because, you know that yes is a real one.
Yeah. It's not like when you do it on the kiss cam at the baseball game and then you have to say yes because otherwise it'll be horrible.
Right. For that.
Right, so
yeah,
it's at home in your mesh shorts, like that's legit.
Yeah, this is pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way with my wife. We both are the same way about gifts and stuff like that. We can't ever wait 5 minutes for anything, so it's like I always do all of my Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve because there's
good idea. Yeah, you know,
it's like if I buy it on December 15th, she gets it on December 15th. So same with birthday presents too. It's like I've got this, I've got to unload it, gotta go.
For sure.
It's too much stress.
I like to think of that as just you loving the other person so much that you can't wait another minute for them to be happy about something.
Sure.
Oh, that's a very lovely way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't blame yourself. It's not about you.
Oh.
Look at you. Cool. So your wedding was about 5 years ago. And you guys, how long did you wait before you started planning? Did you like jump right in it? Did you savor being engaged?
Both of our siblings were engaged, so we kind of had to wait.
Oh, wow.
They were getting married within, my sister and brother-in-law got married the next month, and then Becky's brother and sister-in-law got married the following October, so we kind of felt the need to wait. But I think we started kind of researching and trying to figure out what we wanted at that point.
Yeah, pretty early on.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the first thing that you guys looked into?
I think the venue. We were like, we have to find somewhere to do this. We tossed around the idea of doing destination, just going because it
still wasn't legal in Missouri.
Right. Right.
So we knew we would have to find a place that was legal, but then we didn't know if we wanted to have everyone go there or what we would do. But we ended up deciding to have a ceremony, getting married in Iowa, ironically enough.
Iowa was
always illegal? Just so like fascinating and hilarious to me that Iowa was what the third state right after New York, or was it the second?
Yeah, they apparently had
there's something with how the law was written way back when that it like there's a loophole or they like didn't put the right wording in there to like discriminate against us basically.
So that's Iowans didn't vote for it. It was a loophole that got through, but
whatever, it works. I mean, that just kind of proves that marriage is marriage. So
yeah, there was do you guys know Ed Reggie?
I know the name.
Yeah, he's an improv actor and other actor here in town, and he for a while was we should try to get him on the show actually. He and his husband Scott, they like for a year ish were busing people every couple of months, like 25 couples up to Iowa like every month to just go quickie, get married and come back.
I think that's kind of why we got the idea. We knew where to go through people who had
So you decided to do your wedding in St. Louis and you started looking at venues. And what was your experience with your venue hunt?
It was interesting for sure. I just started like cold calling or cold emailing venues and being like, hey, this is the date we're thinking of. Do you have availability? And by the way, are you gay friendly? Some places didn't respond. Some places were like, yeah, no problem, but were really expensive. And then there was one particular place that was like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
We'd love to have you, but that's against our values.
Yeah, basically.
So they wouldn't love to have you then.
Correct. Exactly. And then Annie's aunt and uncle went to this winery out in Defiance, and I think they knew kind of that we were having some issues finding the spot that we wanted, and we kind of wanted it to be outdoor winery-ish, and so they just asked the woman that owned it. I think they were frequenting that winery on the weekends, and so the woman was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, why would I ever not want them here? And so...
Yeah.
It was Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was that way?
Yeah, that'd be great. So it's called Wine Country Gardens at the time in Defiance, Missouri. And that's where we did it. And it was great. It was awesome.
Where the magic happened.
Yeah.
Yay.
So was the venue hunt the hardest part of planning your wedding? Or was there anything else that was equally or more hard?
I'd say that was probably the hardest, because that was the most... that we wanted, like that we needed outside approval, if you will.
Right.
For the rest of the things that we were looking for, we used kind of close people. So the venue was definitely kind of, we were at somebody else's mercy.
But in terms of hard, like I would say whittling down the guest list was hard. But
so like how many guests did you guys end up with?
I think we invited 200 and
oh, wow.
180 showed up.
Yeah.
That's yeah. It's a fair number of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was fairly big. I mean, yeah.
In comparison, yeah.
Was there any part of it that was the easiest?
Picking the playlist.
Oh, yeah. So you guys like big dancers? Was that like...
something
you look forward to, or
me? I was on the dance floor.
She didn't leave.
I didn't leave the dance floor. That was
That's awesome.
All I wanted to do.
Yeah. Before the wedding, I think like the day before, she said, "Just so you know, like if you want to talk to people, that's fine, because I like to talk to people." She's like, "But I will not. I will be on the dance floor. People who like to talk to me, that's where they can find me." I was like,
"Oh, no." If you want to get a word in, you have to get your groove on at the same time.
For sure.
Yeah. But I mean, the rest of it was pretty easy.
We're not very big on, like, we don't have a huge opinion on like the details. So it was kind of like, whatever.
A lot of our friends helped us put stuff together, like the centerpieces and that kind of stuff. We said like, this is what we want. And then one of my mom's friend set it all up for us. One of our really, really good friends did our, like, she was the officiant. So.
And then another friend was the photographer. So
yeah, so it's pretty much all friends that we try to use, people that were close to us.
That makes it easier for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then did you end up going to Iowa for the legal part?
Yes, we did.
You cut out before or after?
We went before, the month before, in April.
The month before.
We were supposed to go in March, but it was a big snowstorm the day we were supposed to go, and so we opted to wait, and then went in April and went up just for like 24 hours with two of our friends.
Oh wow. So you have to like go up two times, get a license and all that stuff. What do they make you do? I don't even know what they make you do. I mean, yeah. When I went to South Carolina to get married, it was like, yep, you're married, did good. But other places, they're like applications and 72 hours.
Yeah, some places have so when I got married, we went to Massachusetts, we went to Boston. And they have a 3-day, or at least they did. I don't know if they still do. They had a 3-day like waiting period.
Yeah, we were in contact with a judge and they were able to kind of expedite the process for us.
Yeah.
We didn't do the waiting period. So we drove up on a Saturday night, went to the one gay bar in Iowa City, had too much to drink, didn't like we were gonna make it to the courthouse the next morning, made it and drove back home.
Yeah
it
was nice. That sounds like a pretty cool adventure, actually.
It was like, looking back, it was a lot of fun, but we were so mad at ourselves that morning. We're like, we're supposed to be adults getting married today and we're so hungover, all we want to do is eat greasy food and lay in bed.
That sounds awesome. Is that how you celebrate your anniversaries now?
Yes, every year.
24 hour trip to Iowa.
Yes.
I mean, that sounds great, but you know, we just got rid of all of our kids, so I'm looking for ideas to party. So I mean, they went to college. We
Amanda, just to be clear. Yeah, you didn't like take them out. They actually went of their own accord. Do you actually go every year?
No.
That'd be a good idea.
I was really excited for you for a minute there. You should go, like, what? It's been, what is your, have you passed your fifth anniversary or is it upcoming?
We just passed it.
Well, maybe go for your sixth.
That sounds perfect.
Seems right for Iowa.
Yeah.
Sorry,
we're good at debauchery over here. That's what we do.
I was going to say that we should take this show on a road and do like a one gay bar in every state, something, something.
Fun.
Amanda is likes road trips.
A gay bar in every state? That would be interesting.
There must be. I don't know, but we're going to find out now. Listen, if you live in a state, write to us at supergaywedding@gmail.com and tell us what's the gay bar in your state. If there's more than one, you can tell us about more than one. Maybe one day we'll come there and drink with you.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to record this in a bar. It'll be terrible audio.
It'll be great. Terrible. So we talked about the venue being an issue as far as wedding planning. Were there any other aspects of wedding planning that you felt like were affected by being gay?
The obvious of not being able to do it, to have the legal part, where we live. I would say, I think we subconsciously tried to avoid that by using a lot of people that we knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that was our intention, but looking back, it's kind of, I feel like it was like, oh, if we just use people we know and we trust. We did, though. Yeah. I take that back. Ask one of Becky's friends to play music, and he said he's really been diving deeper into his faith and could not, in good conscience,
former friend, by the way,
I'm gonna say,
in good conscience, he could not play his guitar
or attend the wedding. Period.
Well, deleted.
He wouldn't have been.
Bye. I mean, that's super shitty, obviously, but it's probably better that he didn't come to your wedding and.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I always think that it is better when the bigots open their mouths and say, this is who I am, so you can say, fuck off, goodbye, than when they pretend like they aren't horrible people and you don't know, but they're just sitting there, like, you know, telling you they're your friend, but then like voting for Trump while you're not looking, you know? It's no good. Okay, now we have to bring up a question that is of the utmost importance for gay weddings, especially when women are involved, and that is, what did you wear?
No, wait, that sounded kind of sexist. Rephrase that.
it is kind of sexist. I will own that. It is. But here's why, because men's, and as a person who has previously sewn clothes, currently sews clothes on occasion, men's fashion is very pigeonholed. So if you're going to be a man and dress up, your options are basically like, which nice shirt will I wear? Will it be a tie or a bow tie? Will there not be a vest? Will there not be a jacket? Are suspenders involved? Like, that's basically all. And which is not to say that there aren't a variety of things you can do with that. There are. In fact, I've been very impressed with men's fashion at weddings lately. There are some really nice suits happening and some really nice details on them. That's for another day. But when...
Did you see how I got her like all like, wait!
Riled up now.
It is sexist. It's a sexist topic. I agree. When men's fashion becomes more interesting, it will no longer be a sexist topic. Men's fashion used to be interesting. Men used to wear skirts and dresses and high heels and fancy curls, and they don't do that anymore. So when they bring it back, then we're going to have really interesting conversations with two grooms when they get married. Right now, all suits and pants and nice shirts, which is whatever. When two women get married, there's the initial question of, will they both wear dresses? Will they both not wear dresses? Will one of them wear a dress and the other one not wear a dress? What kinds of dresses and or not dresses will they wear? Will there be pantsuits? Like, there's so many more questions for women. That's all.
So many questions.
So many more questions.
I'm what just are they doing with their hair? Got Cindy to have a rant. Shit.
Like, that's even a challenge. Come on.
So anyway.
I basically wake up having a rant. Just ask my sister-in-law.
So what did you guys wear? Did you break gender roles? Did you do some cool stuff? I'm sorry, say that again. I missed.
Mesh shorts.
Men shorts?
she's saying she wore her mesh shorts.
Oh, excellent. I'm impressed.
No, we both wore dresses.
Ironically, they were very similar and we had not picked them out together.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, so you didn't see each other beforehand? You didn't know?
We saw each other before the wedding, but we did our dress shopping separately and mm-hmm. didn't show each other pictures. But then when we saw each other, they were pretty much like the same cut of dress. And people was like, oh, that's cute. Did you plan that? And we were like, no.
That's interesting. In the rest of your life?
Frequently.
Yeah. In the rest of your life, do you have similar fashion sense or was it just this one outlier?
So cute. You're wearing the same stuff.
No, we get annoyed when the second person walks downstairs and it's like, no, you change. No, you change.
I've experienced that.
Like, so you don't like dress alike on a normal day?
I mean,
similar.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that couple. I have a friend who's like grandmother and her husband, like literally dressed exactly the same every single day. And I've been debating running that by my wife to be like, can we do this?
That's sweet. But no.
Not your thing, huh?
My ex and I would always end up just without thinking about, despite the fact we're getting dressed like in the same 800 square feet, right? But you know, like I'm in the bathroom when they're not or whatever. And you get to breakfast and you're like, why are we both wearing purple today?
Right. That's what we do.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
I got dressed before I saw you. So you have to change, right? Like, because we're not going out matching, even if we're going to different places. It's not okay.
So what color dresses did you guys end up wearing?
We did the traditional white.
Yeah.
We spiced it up by, we had everybody, ourselves in the wedding party, wear colorful shoes. Everybody had a different color of shoes.
Oh, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
So what colors were your shoes?
Mine were blue. So at the, like during the wedding, I wore heels, but changed them to tennis shoes and they were both blue.
And I had green toms for the ceremony. And then I had green tennis for my dancing shoes.
Hmm. They must have been some really tough shoes to put up in all that dancing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were. They're holes in the soles now.
Oh, nice. Well done. I'm impressed. So you said you had a wedding party. How many people were in your party and what did you have them wear?
So we just had our siblings. We both have two siblings. So I had my two sisters and Becky had her brother and sister. We had our sisters wore black dresses and brother just wore, we just had him wear a black suit.
Yep. With bow tie.
That sounds really cool. I just photographed a wedding this past weekend down in Texas where they had the wedding party in black and it was like just
it's really, really classy nice looking.
Yeah, people don't do that enough, I don't think.
I agree.
We are pretty classy.
Totally. So let's see. How did the day go overall? Do you feel like it went pretty smoothly? Is there something you would have done differently?
I felt it went pretty smoothly. Yeah. I feel like I don't remember as much as I wished. If I could have done something differently, we did not have a videographer.
Yeah.
So you feel like it would have been nice to have some video of different parts of the day?
I did yell at Annie right before we walked down the aisle because she was about to ruin the surprise that I gave her for a wedding gift and she had no idea why I was angry.
Wait, what is the surprise?
So I hired Daphne Willis, who is a musician that we both really like. I had her come sing like the song as we walk down the aisle and then also play our first dance song and then play a little cocktail hour. But Annie had no idea. And Annie said, I need to go check and make sure her friend, the DJ, was set up and ready. And I like just freaked out. I was like, no, you can't go in there. I'm like, you just can't.
Just listen. You can't go in there.
You can't go in there.
Oh my gosh.
And she was like kind of upset and then they're like, okay, walk down the aisle now. And I'm like, oh crap, this is really awesome. But then like as soon as she walked out, she could see.
I understood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, did you guys walk down the aisle together then?
No.
No.
we both walked down separately with both parents. So Becky went, I don't know how we picked, but Becky walked down first with her mom and dad, and then I walked with my mom and dad.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I think that figuring out what traditions we wanted to follow and which we were wanted to do our own thing was, it was somewhat tricky. It was nice. I feel like being gay, you had that freedom to be like, F this tradition.
Right. We can do whatever we want.
But then it also added another layer of like, what do we really want to do here?
Yeah, it forces you to actually think about it, which a lot of people don't.
That's
true.
But, you know, I mean, that's better for your life, so.
Right, I would agree.
Option A, blindly follow what everybody else has always done. Option B, think about it first.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You make it sound so simple.
It really is, though, is the thing.
Oh, yeah. So were there like any parts of the day that really stand out to you as your favorite moments?
There were some good desserts. Very good desserts.
tell us about them.
My aunt, who is a really great baker, she made them all.
Gooey butter cake, Oreo balls, cake balls.
Yeah.
Whoa. It was just a lot of balls for a lesbian wedding.
Delicious.
We felt we needed to overcompensate with balls.
Yeah. and then there was also a mustache bar. So
a what now?
Mustache bar.
Yes. Like what is that though?
So I ordered like on Amazon 100 or 300, I don't know, fake mustaches that you stick on your lip. So all of the guests had on fake mustaches or fake eyebrows or wherever they put their mustaches.
Armpit hair.
Yeah.
That is like the coolest thing. Oh my God.
I think their wedding needs to get together with Mark and Drew's faces on a stick wedding. Yes. Have a party.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start keeping fake mustaches in my camera bag because that is genius.
Yes. It was pretty cool. I mean, we have some really good pictures.
Yeah.
I bet you do.
Yeah. I think the whole day was just awesome. Yes. I mean, we just kept saying, like, I can't believe all of these people are here just because of us.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a really cool feeling.
Oh, wow.
Probably because you're awesome people. Just a thought.
And right then they froze again. Oh, there you are.
I was like, wow, my
thing's like, didn't land. Oh, you're awesome. And it's like, silence.
It's okay. It's fine. Wait, where are we on our list of questions?
We are number 10.
Oh, no, wait, there's part B of question 9 here. Is there anything, if you had to do your wedding again, besides like the obvious thing of it's legal everywhere now, so you wouldn't have to go to Iowa, despite how much fun it was. Is there anything you would do differently if you had to do it again?
I think hire a videographer. I would honestly, I mean, it's kind of cliche, but try to make myself a little bit more present. I don't remember a ton of the ceremony, I think, because I was so in my like nerves and stuff.
That's kind of natural, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if there's really anything I would change. I just think it like came together and was just like really what we wanted. So, I mean, different. Like if we did it now today, I think there would be a whole crew of different people invited and other people like probably not there. But I think that's just your natural life.
As right, you know. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I really loved the venue. I loved the people we worked with there. They were great. The food was awesome. I mean, everybody said they had a really great time. So I don't think there's a lot I would change.
Mm-mm. Same.
Perfect. So when you were planning the wedding and my brain, I'm sorry, I froze. Let me start over.
You're still drunk from last night, aren't you?
I'm a little bit hungover, but not bad. So planning the wedding, were there any resources that you used that were especially helpful, like a website or book or anything like that that comes to mind?
No,
I think just word of mouth.
Yeah, we learned a lot from like people that had done it before, couples that had went to Iowa,
those that had gone before us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did write the ceremony, and I just did some, like, you know, random Google searching, and I did write most of it myself, but I did use different parts from, like, ceremonies that had been, like, the plate or whatever, that from ceremonies that have been written before. So and we stole the idea of we both poured soil from, like, our parents' houses into a pot and had a plant. We stole that from someone.
Yeah, that's nice.
But I like that.
Now died. That plant did die. Yes. Dead. It's gone before us. But yeah.
It's the symbol. The symbolism is what matters, not how it survives.
I mean, do you still have the dirt? That's all that really matters.
I'm pretty sure one of your friends even said, man, I hope that plant lives, because that would be a bad omen if it died.
I don't think it's a bad omen, for the record.
Yeah, we just don't have green thumb.
No.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah. Other than that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would love to do it again.
Just for fun?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The whole thing, including the planning part, or just doing the day?
Just doing the day. No, I don't like planning.
Yeah.
If money weren't an issue, I'd have somebody else plan it.
It's an important distinction.
Yes. Very.
So is there, speaking of planning, is there any advice that you two would give to other couples who are planning a wedding now?
I think my biggest thing is, like, don't worry about the details. Yeah. Because I've come across so many people who are worried about, like, what chair covers you pick, or name cards, or what, you know, do you have, are they formal or informal? And it's like, just, I mean, what is this about? Like, and I think that's kind of what we focused on, was it was about us and our relationship. And so focusing on what the issue is at hand.
Like, keep it simple. Like, we kept everything pretty simple, and it all just kind of fell together. I didn't feel like I wasn't stressed about, I mean, it was like, it's all just going to happen, and I don't really care if something doesn't. Like,
as long as we get married.
Right. And as long as people have enough food to eat and there's enough booze to drink, like, and the dance floor was always full. I mean, it didn't really matter to us too much.
And there are enough mustaches for everyone.
Sure.
It's critical.
That is solid advice right there.
We had some leftovers, yeah. So we made it.
Oh, yeah.
How many emergency backup mustaches, just in case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you still hanging on to them?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably have some if you want some.
Yeah.
I was just thinking how much fun that would be for the kids, just like mustache.
That's true.
They don't even understand yet. Like, they need to understand the value of those.
Give them a few more years.
So where do you get thousands of mustaches?
Amazon, I think they were.
Well, of course, yeah.
Where do you get everything, Amanda?
I know, right?
Exactly.
Even though it kind of, like, hurts your ethics a little bit.
A little bit.
It's all right.
I mean, it's not really, but we're all going to keep doing it anyway because it's so convenient. Exactly. Okay, well, here's the part of the show where you get to say nice things about anybody who worked on your wedding that you thought was awesome. So you already said it, but let's invite you to repeat the name of the winery in, where did you say it was?
Defiance.
Thank you.
So it was at the time called Wine Country Gardens. They have since changed. They've got new ownership, I believe, and they've changed. It's Defiance Ridge Winery. But we visited since then. We do try to go back there on our anniversary, and the service and everything is, and the food is just as good. So we would definitely recommend them.
Yeah.
And the new owners are gay friendly.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
Slightly more convenient than Iowa.
Right. Exactly. And I would recommend, I mean, if people want to travel to Iowa, the judge that we had, Judge Egerton. She was amazing. I don't even know if she still works there or whatever, but she made it, like, just very personal and special, and she didn't even really know us.
Yeah.
So we were all crying, and it was good. And then our photographers were Pam and Taylor Tholen. I went to high school with Pam, and then she married Taylor, and he was into photography, just does it on the side. They're both work in education.
But he has stolen photography, so shout out to him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know that there was anybody else.
Daphne Willis. Yes. You can look her up on iTunes. That was my gift to Annie for her our wedding.
She's a rock star.
She is. She's a very talented musician who recently signed with Sony. But she writes and sings her own stuff. So she's pretty great, kind of like a grassroots from the ground up person. So yeah.
I'm totally gonna look that up. I love music. What piece did you have her perform for your ceremony?
None of her own music.
Yeah, it was we would change that. Yeah. So during the cocktail hour, she did sing a lot of her own songs. But she played two Josh Radin songs for us, one when we were walking down the aisle, and then our wedding song, or our first dance song she played, which was a Josh Radin song. So, but she's very talented and really, really personable. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
They did all of their own food, Wine Country Gardens, and it was delicious. So shout out to them for food. And then my Aunt Nancy, I don't think you can hire her out. I think she strictly does family members for dessert. Sorry about that, but it was delicious.
Shout out to Aunt Nancy for sure.
Yeah. And then our friend Ann Castellano was the officiant, and she did a great job too.
And she also helped us. She was one of the people that introduced us to each other. So,
yep. Oh, wow.
Helped everything.
That's really special.
Yeah.
She's like coming full circle. That's really cool.
Right, yeah. I know we sort of didn't ask that question at the beginning. Amanda will leave that in. You know she will.
Yeah.
So how did you two meet each other?
Mutual friends. So someone Becky had gone to high school with was married to. I had actually known the couple.
Randomly through the community.
Yeah. And they. I had been going through a breakup and they were like, you should talk to this person. And yeah, it all worked out.
All right. Hooray for the setup.
Yeah.
Hey, good job for surviving that interview.
Was that okay?
It was awesome. Okay. And thanks for coming on the show and talking about all that stuff. Some of it's kind of personal and it's nice that you're willing to share your story.
We're happy to. Yeah. Thanks for having us. We are honored.
Yes.
Now that's a bit much.
Come no. on. I don't know when it airs. I was like, Mom, she's like, no, I need to listen to this.
Your mom?
Yes.
Tell her she can subscribe on iTunes or anywhere else anytime, okay. And then it'll automatically be downloaded to whatever device she's listening on when it comes out.
Got it.
And in the meantime, she's going to get like 6 other episodes of Super Gay Goodness.
All right.
Well, we'll see you later.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to our fucking podcast.
Now's the part where we tell you who makes this podcast possible and ask you to help more people find us.
The Super Gay Wedding Podcast is brought to you by
Catalyst Wedding Co. Love weddings and marriage for feminists, the LGBTQ+ community, and woke folk. Find them at catalystwedco.com.
And also by
Choose Your Own Wedding, the world's first wedding planning subscription. It's everything you need to plan a great wedding at an affordable monthly price.
Sign up at chooseyourown.wedding for a complete online wedding planning course to guide you through every step of wedding planning with video lessons, worksheets, spreadsheets, and professional templates.
You'll also get personal on-demand planning support from a professional wedding planner, that's me, in our private Facebook community, and instant answers on our monthly live planning calls.
Enter the code SUPERGAY at checkout to get your first week free.
Check out all the details and subscribe now at chooseyourown.wedding.
If you like our show, please share it with your friends, subscribe, and take a minute to leave us a review.
You can find Super Gay Wedding on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you'd like to learn more about Super Gay Wedding, be on the show, or tell us what we should talk about next,
check us out at supergaywedding.com.
Find us at facebook.com/supergaywedding.
Or email us at supergaywedding@gmail.com.
And if you need a bomb-ass wedding planner who totally has her shit together and is wicked competent, you need to check out Cindy's website at islelesstraveled.com.
And if you need a destination photographer who's not afraid to get her camera dirty capturing your wedding adventure, then you should get your ass over to AmandaSummerlin.com.
And by the way, if you hire us both, we're going to give you a 5% discount.
Because we're fucking awesome.
And we love working together.
And we will rock your super gay wedding.
Fuck yeah.
Woo!
Nailed that shit. Like, for real.
Did. Yeah.